Looks like a cleanup on aisle 7. Oh, boy. How are we all doing?
Good.
How's this week been? How's the week been? Because, you know, when you get ready to prepare for a sermon, the week really is a rough week. Just let me, you know, I don't know how Pastor Ray does this every week, but it can be a very rough week. And this week was a very rough week with all those things going on with work and, you know, some real realities and some asking for forgiveness to some brothers and just life. Life goes on. But I have a question this morning. And it's an interesting question that was posed to me a while ago, and I've thought about it and meditated on it. Does God get everything he wants in this world? Does God get everything he wants in this world? And the answer to that is no, he does not. The creator of the universe, of every one of you, does not get everything he wants. Because our favorite verse, John 3:16, says that God so loved the world that he gave his only one son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And there are people today that will not accept Christ. There are people today that choose to walk in the world. And we've seen them. We've seen people come in this church and leave. We've seen people choose a sinful life, to walk away from God. We realize as brothers and sisters in Christ that the blood that Christ shed on that cross was for every one of our sins. But people have a hard time accepting that sometimes. They do not want that. They would sometimes they live in their past and they can't forgive themselves. Sometimes they're living in the present and there's just so much stuff going on, well, not only in the natural world but in the spiritual world, that they can't walk with Christ. They choose not to walk with Christ. And the question I'm going to ask this congregation today is a question that's going to challenge, I hope challenge every one of you, as this is a question that God challenged me. Does God get everything he wants in my life? He gave us Jesus, died on the cross, blood on the cross, covered our sins. But do I, and am I willing to do everything that God has asked me to do? That's a tough question. That's a hard question. Because we have those things we love to call free will. We have those things, choices and decisions that we make. But are we willing? Are we willing to submit ourselves to the Lord? And as I sat and I focused on that, and I prayed through it with the Lord, what does it take? What does it take for us to have God in our lives so that we will follow him no matter what? And the scriptures the Lord led me to was out of Hebrews 10:23-25, if you guys want to turn to that. It says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience, that our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some of us are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Faith, folks, is how we must walk. We must believe without a shadow of doubt in our mind that the Lord is walking with us no matter what it is in our life that we face or have faced. But are we willing to accept that faith? With the times that we're facing, with the economic situations, with problems within this own, our own congregation here, are we willing to have the faith to live the word of God as God has called us to live? We, as brothers and sisters in Christ, must walk a life of repentance. That's one of the first and foremost things that God is asking us to do, is walk in a life of repentance. Know when we've done things wrong and ask God to forgive us and turn around 180 degrees and walk away from them. I'm going to pick on Al here for a second, but I overstepped some bounds last week with Al. And the first things out of my mouth, I hope, are, "Al, I'm really sorry. I overstepped my bounds. I realized through prayer that I overstepped and I stepped on his toes and I did things that I shouldn't have done." You know what? He's forgiven me, I hope. And we work through this as brothers and sisters. Look around, folks. And even the faces that are not here today, we are going to hurt, intentionally or unintentionally, each other. We are going to cause strife in this church, whether it's intentionally or unintentionally. But are we brother and sister enough, when the day is done, to say, "I'm sorry, and I forgive you"? Are we? We have a building project, folks. We're really not into that building yet, as far as it is. But there are going to be times when we're going to argue over what color the carpets are going to be. I hope not. I pray that we don't. I mean, Pastor Ray had joked about that for a while. "Oh, well, the shades were this color and the carpet and the wall painting." You know, folks, why are we here? Why we are here is what we must really focus on. That our lives must be an honor to God. And it is not about my personal opinion. It is not about your personal opinion. It is about God's opinion and what God is calling us to do. And to get there, we must walk in that repentance so we can hear God. Acts 2:38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." See, when we walk in repentance and we walk in forgiveness, the Holy Spirit is available to us. See, we have a personal responsibility to God. See, we love to talk about, "Oh, grace, God's grace, God's love," all that, and that is so important. It is very, very important. But we have a personal responsibility to forgive, to repent, to read God's word, and to pray. If we are not in prayer, then how do we know what God wants us to do? Prayer is our communication line to Christ, to God. Your prayers never go unheard. Sometimes the answer is no, and we don't like that. Right? Nobody likes to be told no, especially from God. But in that prayer, God is going to call you. The more you walk with the Lord, we walk in repentance and we walk in forgiveness, God is going to call us. God is going to call you to do things. Are you willing to answer that call? Because in answering that call, it's going to cost you your time. It is going to cost you your money. That's really God's money anyways, because if God created everything on this planet, it's his. It's not ours. The American attitude is that we are, everything that we have is ours, and it's not. How many of you own property? If you own property, you really don't own it. You rent it from the state, because if you don't pay your taxes 3 years, you're done. We don't own anything. We don't take anything with us to heaven but the Spirit of God that dwells within us in our soul. That's what we take. That's what we have. That is ours. Everything else in this world is minor. One of the most interesting things that when we talk about forgiveness and how God treats forgiveness. We all love the Lord's Prayer, right? We all pretty much know it by heart. But do we ever really catch that the Lord forgives our debts as we forgive others. Ouch. So if you're sitting here today with a heart of bitterness and a heart of anger, unforgiveness, how can God forgive you the same way that you're forgiving those other people? Wow, that's tough. That's a tough day. How many of us believe the revival is coming to this county? We believe revival is coming. I believe revival is coming. Because I have no doubt in my mind that I have seen the miracles of God work through people that have walked that repentant life, that have walked that forgiven life. When we were at the other church, I watched a woman who had 7 tumors be baptized, go to the hospital the next day, and have none. Healing miracles. Healing miracles. I have watched demons cast out of people's lives. Physical demons. There's stuff that you guys in this congregation never hear that's going on in the back doors. But we have watched demons be cast out of people. We have watched footholds and strongholds be broke. We have watched marriages be restored. What a blessing it is to see that. But that comes from people that are willing to answer the call of God in their life. That call of forgiving each other, walking, reading God's word and living it. God has given us commands in our life. And it's in the Bible, folks. If you're not reading this, how can you know what the character of God is? How can you not understand who Christ is going to be in your life if you're not reading the Word? Going back to that time thing. If you're going to walk with the Lord, it is going to take time reading the Word of God. It's going to take time in prayer. God may actually tell you to pull over and give somebody an encouraging word that you don't know. Are you willing to do that? John 3:6 says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to the spirit, in the spirit. Are we living a life that is so flesh-driven that we ignore our spirit, or the spirit of God that dwells within us when we accept Christ? Are we willing to listen to that spirit when the spirit talks, or are we disobedient? How many people have ever had somebody, as you're driving down a road or you're at work, the Lord just put somebody on your heart to pray? Pray for them right now. Pray for them right now. Do you stop and do you pray? Or you say, I'll do it later, Lord. And that doing it later, that's disobedience. We can no longer be a people of disobedience. I believe, and the board believes, I believe the board believes, I know Pastor Ray believes, that we have a great call for that building on the hill. We believe that there are going to be things that are going to go on there that are going to set captives free in this county. Amen. Are you willing to set through a 10-hour service when the Holy Spirit falls, revival is so heavy, that people are being delivered, slain in the spirits, demons cast out? Are you willing? Or... Pastor, I cut lunch at 11 o'clock. I got my favorite booth reserved. Are we willing? What are we willing to do for Christ, folks? Are we willing to love each other through the arguments of paint color and carpet color and shade color? Pond location. Amen, brother. And I love you too, Al. But are we willing? Because really, things can be fixed. Things can be taken care of. But when we speak words of death to each other, that we speak so harshly that people will never walk through that door again, what have we accomplished? We may have won the battle, but we've lost the war. And the war that we must face as believers in Christ is that every soul be saved. That is our war. You know, I've heard people say too that, well, we make excuses. I've heard people say, and we make excuses. Well, we all fall short of the glory of God. How many people have ever heard somebody use that? Yeah, we've heard that, right? Well, you need to know where that person's come from. Right? We've heard that too. You need to know where that person's come from. Look at that door back there. I'd like everybody to just turn and look at that door back there. That day, this morning, when you came through that door, it was history. Today, when you walk out that door, you do not have to live that same life that you were told that you have to live. You are not the person that people tell you that you are. You are the person that God created you to be. Stop living in our past and start looking at the future. The cross of Christ. God is calling us for more. More than what we are. God's expectations are here, but we live here. Up in DSOMS, I know this is hard to believe, but I like to mess with people. So I go up to DSOMS and I start asking the pastors up there that teach in the classes, why is it that believers are not walking down the street delivering people of demons and healing the sick? Why? And I get these puzzled looks of, well, we don't want it. People aren't dedicated. We get excuses. And some of them are real, are right. We may not want to do that. But what if God's calling you to do that? God so loved the world that he gave his only son for us. He died for us. Who are we to deny Christ, our lives, in a life of service to him? It does not mean that we're going out to some mission field in Africa. It does not mean that we're traveling thousands of miles to South Dakota to a Native American reservation. That is not what it means. What it means is right here, I see a mission field. All the believers in here, there's a mission field. And when I step out that door, there's a community that's a mission field. We do not need some big, big mission. Because I don't know if anybody's ever seen the movie Core, but there's a... The series in the movie talks about the world's going to end. And they have to... These guys are Terranauts, they're going under the ground. But there's a scene in there, and the guy goes, it's really overwhelming to save the world. Right? Isn't it kind of overwhelming to save the world? I can't do it. The guy looks at him, he says, I'm not here to save the world. I'm here to save three. And he holds up the pictures of his wife and two daughters. Our personal mission should be to do what God's calling us to do, to save one at a time. And that is your responsibility. It is your responsibility to read the Word of God. It is your responsibility to pray. It is your responsibility to forgive and to love. Those are the commands of God. These aren't what Mark Kieberts is telling you. These are the commands of God. Because when those tough times come, we can say it is written. When those tough times come, we can say, Holy Spirit, I'm overwhelmed. Please come. Protect me. And what is the cost, folks? What is the cost for a life that we live, but we never live it for Christ? 2 Corinthians 5:6-10. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at the home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we may live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make our goal to please Him. Whether we are at home in the body or away from it, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. There will be a day when the Lord calls you home that you will have to give an account of your life, the good and the bad and the ugly. Are you ready for that day? I had 32 years before I knew Christ that was pretty ugly, pretty bad. And I know that everything that I do today is not to offset that. I believe the things that I do today are because God is calling me to do them. And we must always keep that in check. It is not our good works that get us to heaven, but it is the blood of Jesus Christ and the acceptance of Him in our lives. But I would rather do one thing for God than 10 things for Mark. And I just want to encourage you folks that through the acceptance of Christ, we have that availability to the Most High place that I talked about in Hebrews. That we need to be a body that edifies, that comes alongside of each other and builds each other up. We have not yet faced the trials that are really going to come when we build this building and revival begins, because it is going to be intense. I want to encourage you to read the Word of God. I know Pastor Ray has done that. But take it seriously, folks. There is a serious enemy out there, and his whole desire is to separate you from God. That's his mission. He doesn't sleep 24/7. His whole day is to destroy you. The Word of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, through prayer, through forgiveness, through repentance, we can have a fulfilled life in Christ, that joy will always abound in us, no matter what it is. I have to tell you, the day that we had done the stuff with the gentleman that was possessed, I mean, that was an intense day of spiritual warfare, but yet there was a level of peace that I have never experienced. Being in the will of God and what He has called us to do will bring the greatest peace to your life. And I pray that that peace will be upon you. Thank you for the privilege of being able to bring the Word today. And may the Lord just bless you all.